The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
You know, every day of our life is a gift from God, but how are you spending that gift? Are you letting life just happen, or are you pursuing God's best? In my book, Seize the Day, I want to stir you up to take your life back and teach you how to live every day on purpose for a purpose. Seize the Day. Order your copy right now.
Call us right now, toll free, 1-800-727-9673, or visit joycemeyer.org.
Well, thank you for joining us today on Enjoying Everyday Life. Today I want to talk to you about a subject that is just very, very, very important to me, and I pray that it is already important to you, but if it's not, that this will kind of stir you up to make it important in your life, and that's the importance of spending time with God. What is the value of spending time with God? You see, I believe that if we understand that something is extremely valuable and that the fruit of it is going to be amazing, that it's going to prompt us, we're more than likely going to do it easier than if we don't realize how important it is. And I think almost every Christian would tell you that they find it difficult to spend regular quality time with God. I'm busy, I'm this, I'm that. I don't know what to do when I spend time with God. So let me just go over a couple scriptures and then a few thoughts, and then I'm going to tell you some things to do when you spend time with God, because that's usually one of the things that people want to know. Well, when I spend time with God, that sounds so vague. What do I do? And the most important thing, really, to tell you the truth, is not what you do, it's that you give Him the time. But I'll tell you some things that you can do. But first of all, a scripture that was very life-changing to me, it's actually one of my very, very, very favorite scriptures, is Psalm 27:4. And David the psalmist said, "One thing have I asked of the Lord." Well, at the time when I read this, I mean, I certainly had a list that included a lot more than one thing. And interestingly enough, this wasn't even one of the things that was on my list. So, "One thing have I asked of the Lord, and that will I seek after." The word "seek" is a very strong word. There's only a handful of things that we're ever told in the Bible to seek. Seek peace, seek the Lord, just a few things. And so seek means you're going to crave it to the point where you just cannot do without it. You have to have it. And we all know how we act if we really crave something. No, we won't get into that, but you know what I mean. This is the thing that I've asked, that I would seek, inquire for, and require, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord, in His presence all the days of my life, to behold and gaze upon the beauty, the sweet attractiveness, the delightful loveliness of the Lord, and to meditate, consider, and inquire in His temple. One thing have I desired, that I might walk in the presence of God and seek Him all the days of my life. God in no way, shape, or form wants to be relegated to a Sunday morning visit. He wants to invade every area of our life. He wants to be included in everything that we do because He is our constant companion, our Lord, our Savior, and our friend. What friend would want to hang out with you all day if you ignored them all day long? And so we need to pay more attention to God. Philippians 3:10, and I love this too. The Apostle Paul said, "For my determined purpose," strong language again, "I'm determined that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection." The Amplified gets a little more wordy. It says, "My determined purpose that I might know Him, that I might progressively," and it is a progression, it's something that we do little by little over a period of time, "that I might progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of His person more strongly and more clearly. And that I might in the same way come to know the power that flows out from His resurrection. You see, we're invited into a resurrection life. And what that means is that even though we're still in the world and there's a lot of death-type things all around us, that we can still live here, but at the same time be lifted above it because of our relationship with God. And God offers us that as a way to help us be here in the midst of such awful circumstances, yet still be happy and peaceful and enjoy our lives. I mean, really, how could most people possibly enjoy their lives if they didn't have a relationship with God? He's the one that brings us that enjoyment. And so it's very important to spend time with God because we are told to bring Him the first fruits of everything. The first fruits of everything belongs to God. So wouldn't that include my time as well? And so if we gave God the first portion of our time, I believe all the rest of it would be blessed. And I think if we give God the first portion, then He can make the rest of it so much more fruitful and so much more beneficial that there's no way that any of us could ever lose time by spending time with God. So to say I don't have time is really just deception. The truth is we don't have time not to spend time with God. It's probably like the worst decision that anybody can possibly make is to try to find somewhere to fit God into your schedule. What an insult. I kept trying to fit God into my schedule, and every day I would fail, and finally He put on my heart, don't try to fit me into your schedule. Fit your schedule around me. And so see, if we put Him first and we say none of the rest of this is as important as spending time with God, then you'll see that all the other things that you should be doing will get done. Any person living in our modern society could definitely find time to spend with God if you just simply looked at what you're spending your time on and eliminated a couple of things that aren't bearing any fruit. Amen? Amen. Nothing given to God is ever lost. Nothing given to God is ever lost. Giving God the first portion of anything qualifies us then for multiplication. I love that. Give, and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Today it seems as if nobody has enough time. But perhaps if we put God first in our time, we would not only have enough time, but we would have time left over. Wouldn't that be interesting? I think the same principles that we apply to giving, we can apply to our time. I think we'll find that it will work the exact same way. So in my book that I was privileged to write a number of years ago, Knowing God Intimately, I said, you can be as close to God as you want to be. It all depends on how much time you're willing to put into building that relationship. So let's just lay down a few thoughts or motive attitudes that we need to make sure are right before we even think about this seeking God. The key to seeking God is to seek Him for who He is, not what He can do for you. It's one of the biggest mistakes that we make, just going to God to get our needs met. How insulted would I be if my four grown children only came to see me or talk to me when they wanted something? I can guarantee you they would not get much at all. We can't just seek God when we're desperate. If you do, you may find yourself more desperate than you'd like to be. But if we seek God as if we were desperate all the time, then we probably won't be desperate hardly at all. Did everybody get that? Or do I need to say that again? I don't know if I can say that again. I'll try. Don't just seek God as if you were, just when you're desperate, but seek Him all the time. And if we only seek Him when we're desperate, then we're probably going to be desperate all the time if that's the only way God can get us to seek Him. But if we seek Him as if we were desperate, then we won't be desperate most of the time. Beware of going to God just when you need something. If you do that, it's going to offend God because He wants us to love Him for who He is. Make sure your motive for seeking God is pure. Don't seek God just to appease Him. Don't seek God just to get what you want. Don't seek God just out of obligation or out of legalism. I'm supposed to do this, and I don't want God to be mad if I don't. We spend time with God for one reason and one reason only. Are you ready for what it is? Because we absolutely cannot live without Him. What in the world would we do if we did not have a conscious awareness of the presence of God in our lives? I say this all the time, but I never get tired of saying it. Jesus did not die so we could all have a religion and march off to our little buildings on Sunday morning for a 45-minute visit. He died with us so we could have an intimate, personal, dynamic relationship with Him where we invite Him to be involved in every single thing that we do. Now, what are some of the things that you can do when you spend time with God? Well, I'm going to recommend you do it first thing every day. Now, I know that some people are not morning people, so I'm not going to make a law out of that, but I do believe that there's enough evidence in the Bible that seeking God early is important that I would say, even if you can only manage 5 minutes, don't go out of your house without talking to God. And I think you'll find it so valuable because, you know, how you get your day started sometimes determines how the whole thing turns out. Everybody agree with that? And so I can't stand to not start my day with God. Now, this morning, because I had to come here, and it's one of the days where I weight train, and I wanted to get my cardio in. In order for me to have a good quality time with God, I needed to get up at 4:30. Well, I'm not real nuts about getting up at 4:30. You know, that means that I need to go to bed at a decent time at night. But I have learned the hard way that I will not make it through the day successfully, joyfully, peacefully, fruitfully, if I don't take that first portion of time and give it to God. Whether He wants to see me or not, I've got to have time with Him. Amen. And we know that He does want to see us. Now, here again, I'm not making a law out of this, saying, oh, you got to get up every morning at 4:30 and spend time with God. I'm not telling you what I did to impress you. My point is that if you want to do it, you will have to make some sacrifices at certain times. That's the main point. You got to be willing to say, God, this is more important to me than something else that I may want to do. Maybe you're a tidy person and you can't stand to leave your house without your bed being made. Well, guess what? You'd be better off if you don't have any other choice to seek God first, make your bed when you come home. Or worst case scenario, get back in it that night without having made it at all. And I don't recommend doing that, you know, for 2 months, but I'm just saying that we need to make choices and know what's important. So first of all, you need to discipline yourself to spend that time with God. Stop saying you don't have time. Just be honest and say, well, I won't spend the time. It's amazing how brutal truth can be if we face it. Because to be honest, sometimes we stay in bondage because we just keep lying to ourselves over and over and over. Well, I can't find the time. No, you won't take the time. Don't turn the TV off. I'm just trying to help you. Excuses are reasons stuffed with lies. Ooh. And they protect, now listen, and they protect the stronghold that Satan has built in our mind that deceives us. So every excuse that we make protects the stronghold that the enemy has built in us through other lies that we've believed from him. Okay. One of the things you want to do when you spend time with God is pray. But don't make prayer so religious that It becomes bondage to you. Prayer is just talking to God. It's talking to God about anything and everything that's important to you. There is nothing that you can't tell God, and get this, He will always keep your secrets. You don't ever have to worry about God gossiping about you. So we spend time talking to God. There are thousands of references in the Bible about the importance of prayer. Praise and worship. And you know, you don't want to make something out of that either, that it's not. That doesn't mean that you've got to turn on a full band orchestra and stand in the middle of the floor with your hands lifted. You can do that if you want to. That's great. There's nothing wrong with that. But for me, a lot of praise and worship, because I really like quiet. So for me, a lot of praise and worship is just, I love you, Lord. You're wonderful. You're amazing. You're beautiful. I need you so much. You know, praise is said to be a narration that tells a story about the goodness of God. And so just talk to Him about, you've done so much for me, God, and I can't imagine anybody not wanting to have you in their life. And that's something you can do all throughout. You can praise your way through the day, and you can pray your way through the day. Study God's Word. I would say read the Bible, but I prefer that you study God's Word. And you may not be able to get into a deep Bible study, but this morning, a lot of times what I'll do is I'll read whatever chapter of Proverbs the date of that day is. So there's 31 chapters in Proverbs, almost always 31 days in a month or 30. And so if I don't have any specific thing I want to do this morning, I read Proverbs 10. And I try to just think when I'm done, what are the main themes here? And so, man, I'll tell you, Proverbs 10 nailed me this morning because it said so much about being careful about what you say. So don't just read just so you can get a little check mark on your Bible reading calendar. Make sure that if it's only one thing that you can take away, that you have a takeaway. Something that you can take away. And it may even be wise to just kind of use that throughout the day to meditate on that and keep it in front of you. You could even write it down. Be careful about your words. Foolish words bring destruction into your life. You know how we are. Something goes in one side of our head and out the other side. So the more we think about something, the more we're likely to keep it. Confess God's Word. That's been so important to me. You have today what you've said in the past, and tomorrow you will have what you're saying today. I'll say it again. I can tell it's still soaking. A lot of us have today what we said. I'm going to give you a real simple example, and I can't tell you exactly how all this works, but I'm telling you, words are powerful. I have this one certain exercise that I just have always said, I hate that exercise. So every time my trainer says, guess what we're going to do today? I go, oh my gosh, I hate that exercise. So taking my own advice, I decided to stop saying I hate that exercise. So now every time he tells me to do it, I'm like, I love that exercise. He's like, I know you do. I'm going to let you do 2 sets of them today, 12 reps each. Oh, thank you. He says, if you want to, you can do 3 sets. I said, no, 2's probably good. But you know what? And I am telling you the honest to God's truth. Since I changed what I say, that exercise is really not that hard for me anymore. I don't think we even begin to understand how we just derail our own strength and our own future by saying things that are in no way, shape, or form going to help us. No wonder the Bible says that we are to lay aside all vain, useless conversation that bears absolutely no fruit. And so those are just, you know, a few things. Pray, praise, study the Word, confess the Word. I also use it as a time to think. I think. I write in my journal every morning and have for most of 40 years. And it is amazing when I go back and look at stuff. I get such a kick out of seeing what a mess I was 30 years ago and how I'm not quite as big of a mess now. I'm not going to say there's still not issues, but it's just kind of like a record of what God has done in your life. And you see things that you thought you'd never make it through, but lo and behold, you made it through. And look what happens. You're here. You survived. And so it gives you confidence that you can make it through other things. So what is the value of seeking God? This could be a four-part series, so we just have to go through this rather quickly. When we spend time with God, our joy increases. Wow. In His presence is fullness of joy. Psalm 16:11. John 15:11. I have told you these things, Jesus said, that my joy and delight might be in you, and that your joy and gladness might be a full measure and complete and overflowing. And the thing that He had told them was, abide in me. Abide in me. And the word abide does not mean to visit. It means to dwell, remain, live in, stay permanently, and to rest there. So when we can form the habit of recognizing God's presence all throughout the day, and even just stop once in a while and say, I know You're with me, Lord. Thank You for being with me. You're here in my car with me as I drive to work. Just remind yourself that God is with you. You'll begin to get more of a conscious awareness of God's presence in your life. And the more you have that, the more you will enjoy your life. Amen? Acts 2:28, You have made known to me the ways of life. You will enrapture me, diffusing my soul with joy with and in Your presence. Amen. The next thing that value we get is when we spend time with God, our peace increases. Peace increases. Philippians 4:6, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. All that is something you can do in your morning time. That capsulizes all the things that I just said to do when you pray. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, shall guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. When we spend time with God, it also keeps us on the narrow path of life and off of the broad path. The narrow path is, of course, a holier path, a path that keeps you in the will of God. The broad path is a path where we have lots of room for fleshly behavior. And one of the things that happens to me, and I'm sure will happen to you, when you spend time with God, if there is something that needs to be dealt with, you'll be convicted of it. Always appreciate God's conviction. And don't let the devil use it to condemn you. Thank God. Thank you, God, for reminding me, for showing me what I need to do. God will keep us out of trouble. And He'll warn us of things ahead of time if we'll just listen to Him. When we spend time with God, and oh man, I love these scriptures, we are content and fully satisfied. Wow. Psalm 17:15. As for me, I will continue beholding Your face in righteousness, rightness, justice, and right standing with You. I shall be fully satisfied when I awake to find myself beholding Your form and having sweet communion with You. So when you develop your fellowshipping relationship with God to such a degree where when you wake up in the morning, the first thing on your mind is God, thank You, Lord. Thank You for another day. Help me today, Lord. This scripture says you will be fully and completely satisfied. Woohoo! Y'all are kind of looking at me like. When we spend time with God, we receive strength. Wow, there's so many scriptures about that. For by my God, I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. Elijah went to the top of Mount Carmel, kept seeking God, seeking God, seeking God, and he ended up running 20 miles. Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and they shall not be weary. Spending time with God brings His protection into our life. So many great scriptures here about that. We read Psalm 27:4, one thing have I asked the Lord, that will I seek after. Verse 5 says, for in the day of trouble, He will hide me in His shelter. In the secret place of His tent will He hide me. He will set me high upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. and in your tent, in this body of mine, I will sing. Yes, I will shout and sing praises unto the Lord. Psalm 31:20. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man, and you will keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Well, I like that. You know what? I have no idea how many people might be saying things about me that I might not like. I'd like to believe that there aren't any, but, you know, you can't be on television all over the place and have everybody just think everything you do is wonderful. And I need to be hidden from the weight of that, because words can affect you. And so I believe that when I spend time with God, that I'm protected from bad things that other people would say about me. And Psalm 91:1, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can come against. And one last benefit that we have from spending time with God, and I'm sure this is not the full list. This was just a short teaching that I wanted to give to you and our wonderful, amazing, awesome viewing audience. We love you. Is that when we spend time in the presence of God, we become more and more like Jesus. The Bible says that as we continue beholding Him in the Word, we are changed and transformed into His image from glory to glory to glory. So, spend time with God. It's one of the most important things you can do. And you know, the book that I mentioned, Knowing God Intimately, this is such an awesome book. And it always makes me sad sometimes, the books that don't sell. And this one doesn't sell nearly as well. I guess people aren't as interested in this subject as I would like them to be. I'm so charged up about spending time with God that when I wrote this book, I just thought it would be one of our best sellers ever. And I mean, it's done okay, but the point is this should be the primary thing for us. And so today we're offering you this book for your gift to the ministry of any amount. All we ask is that you do the best that you can. And all the offerings that come in as a result of this program today are going to go just toward helping us pay for our television airtime and reach out into new places. You know, if you enjoy the program, then I think it's right for you to help participate in keeping it on the air. And so we would really appreciate anything that you do towards that. We love you. Thank you so much for joining us today. God bless you.
People get pretty excited about Magazine Day.
Start your free subscription to the Enjoying Everyday Life magazine today. Did I mention it's free? Oh yeah, it's free. And all you need to do to get it is call or click today.
The proceeding was paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.